Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? It's October 5th, and in Atlanta, we have had an absolutely phenomenal weekend. It has been a beautiful, beautiful weekend, and I hope that wherever you're listening, you've had the same type of weather. It's just been absolutely gorgeous. Well, today we are going to talk about driving etiquette. Actually, this is driving etiquette part two. And we're going to be discussing some types of behavior that you have been observing while driving on the road. Now, last week was part one, but to tell you the truth, we never really got past the pump because of the shortage on gasoline in the southeast. So we never quite made it past the pump, and hopefully some of the callers that called in last week that were talking about this gas crisis, hopefully they will have an opportunity to call back in so that we can just check on the update. Let me give you the number, first of all. It is area code 347-324-3295. Once again, area code 347-324-3295. And, of course, if you prefer, feel free to send us an email at info@pagesetiquette.com. Once again, that's info@pagesetiquette.com. Now, of course, the purpose of What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show version, is to make the world a polite place to live. And I understand that we may only be able to do that one person at a time. Well, I'm Donna Paige Riley. I'm the owner of Paige's Etiquette Seminars, which is a company specializing in both personal as well as professional development training. Now, we offer exciting sessions for all ages. And I'm also the author of What is Etiquette Anyway?, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. And some of the content of that particular book includes table manners, posture and poise, common courtesies, magic words, just all those wonderful, wonderful types of character development items that we want to instill in our children. And this is a great book for children ages 4 and up. And, of course, also, the other book is What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key Ingredients for Building Successful Working Relationships. And a few of those chapters include executive dress, casual Friday, business over lunch, networking, if you're planning to do business overseas. And this particular book makes a great professional development piece. So if you are working, and I always say if you are working with anyone other than yourself, then you certainly could use Key Ingredients for Building Successful Working Relationships. Now, these items, in addition to other items, affirmations, so on and so forth, can be purchased directly from our website, which is www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, it's www.pagesetiquette.com. All of those items are available, and you can just take a look at that at your convenience. Now, for the new listeners, which I know that we have new listeners each and every week, I'd like to say welcome, first of all. And I'd like to just take a quick moment just to talk about the origin of the word etiquette. Please excuse me. Now, etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, the word etiquette itself, which is spelled E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, it comes from an old French word meaning ticket. Now, it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. And Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So that is actually where that word comes from. And oftentimes this word is mispronounced. It's mispronounced as etiquette because it is E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. But the way to remember to how to pronounce this word correctly is remembering that since the word etiquette came from a French word meaning ticket, then the Q actually adopts the K sound. So it's etiquette. Okay? Now, I want to, we need to bring on our co-host, our HR lady, which is Denise. Denise, are you there?
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I am well, and yourself?
Doing very well today. Thank you.
Great. Well, of course, as you know, Denise, last week was Driving Etiquette Part 1, as I mentioned earlier. But, of course, due to the gasoline crisis in the Southeast, in our discussion, we never really got past the pump,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the behaviors that were demonstrated there, of course, due to the tremendous gasoline shortage. Now, it seems to be, you know, much better this week, and I'm certainly interested in hearing from any callers that may be listening that gave us a call on last week, and just to kind of check on an update and see what's happening or what they've been experiencing over the last 7 days. And I know in my own experience, it has been much smoother. The more of the stations seem to have more gas. Some of them only have specific types. I have noticed that. Some of them just have regular or some may have, you know, Supreme. But they have it. So, you know, it seems to have been better. What have you experienced? But I remember you, I don't think you had too much of an issue, though. You were really blessed.
No, I really haven't. On the south side of Atlanta, of course, we did have a limited amount of premium gas, but in my day-to-day travel, I have not had an issue finding gas, and I have had a great experience of finding gas at a great price. So for me, it hasn't been an issue, but I've seen people panic.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen many lines. People in the highway obstructing traffic, and it's been a nightmare to those folks, I'm sure. But again, I was reading in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today, and they are saying that it is beginning to come into the Atlanta area a lot quicker now, and that more stations should have more gas. They also talked about how you know, why some stations had gasoline and others not. Like the bigger companies could get gas a lot quicker in places like Racetrack and Quick Trip. They get gas from many distributors, which helped them out quite a bit. So instead of having just a fleet just for Quick Trip, it was just a lot of different people that they could get to bring their gas in. So we are so pleased to have a lot more gas. I think people are going to be a lot more at ease now that that gas is coming in more frequently.
Absolutely. I know I, you know, because I was one of the ones on last Sunday that that week prior, I mean, I probably visited 12, 13 stations and they were out. So that was just such a an interesting feeling because something that you're used to having all the time.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden it's not there. It's like, is this really happening? Well, let me give you the number again. It's 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. And I have to apologize. I am fighting something, either allergy or sinus issues, so I'm sorry I'm having to clear my throat. But also today, let's discuss the manners you observe on the road. Okay, we want to do a follow up, but we all also want to talk about some of these things that you find on the road. Okay, let's go to our first caller, Miss Alfreda. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Well, hi, Alfreda.
Hi, Miss Riley. Hi, Denise. How you guys are doing?
Well.
Hopefully you had a very blessed Sunday. I was a caller last week in reference to what is etiquette in driving. Now, I'm going to tell you guys about some etiquette that I practiced during the panic.
Okay.
I was at a gas station, and this guy's car had broken down where he needed gas, and it was my turn in line, and everybody behind me was just honking the horns, like, come on, get out of the way, he's going to get all the gas. So what I did, instead of putting gas in my car, and I had a half a tank, and with being my turn at the line, I was polite and said, you go ahead on, put gas in your car, and I'll just find gas elsewhere. He offered to pay me. I'm like, no, you don't owe me anything. You got a car on the side of the road that you need gas, and I'm not going to inconvenience them. If they feel like I'm going to take all the gas, putting it in my little car, then you go ahead on and put gas in your car. And it was just the patience of me practicing that made the people behind me, when they came up, it was other people came, and they start doing the same thing, putting gas in theirs, but also letting the other person jump in front of them with a gas can.
Wow.
Which is like just the patience that you have in a panic, it can rub off on so many people because of kindness. And I wasn't doing anything for shape, form, or fashion. It's the Jesus in me that just helped me help that person, and the etiquette that I have been taught in listening to Ms. Riley helped me help somebody else.
Well, that was certainly your random act of kindness, because we've been talking about random act of kindness, too, and that's wonderful. You were certainly a blessing to that gentleman, and he was probably shocked, and it's kind of sad because, you know, these are things that, you know, we should be doing, you know, and oftentimes when someone performs a random act of kindness, sometimes they're like, okay, what's going on? Just like when sometimes when people say thank you when most people don't, you know what I mean? But that is definitely, you certainly are a blessing. And that just goes to show, it just kind of makes people think for a minute. And I think some of the callers had mentioned last week, too, about if we would just not be so selfish.
Right.
And, you know, it's impossible for us to be selfish and considerate at the same time, because one just basically cancels out the other.
That was
wonderful, Miss Alfreda. And I'm sure that, you know, at some point in his life, he's going to return that favor to someone else. And that's what it's all about.
Yes. And there used to be this little movie on called Pay It Forward. If you do one thing, then somebody else may do something else for two people that they don't know out of the blue. Because I did not know this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, for someone, then I look across the other side, and I see someone doing the exact same thing. But while waiting in line 45 minutes, I never saw anybody do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it at least did someone. It's just one person taking notice of being kind and having, and practicing what is really in us. Etiquette is in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to know how to pull it out and how to show it as an example of the way you live, your good morals, your good standards. And you practice it in everything you do, as well as driving. It's just driving, and may see somebody standing on the side of the street that may just, you might have a raincoat that you can offer them. You know, just acts of kindness that's within us, just to, you know, just to show who you are, but not trying to show it for any kind of gratitude or shape, form, or fashion, because that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That is excellent. And, you know, because what we do, we can say one thing, but when we do something else, you know, whether or not, it kind of determines whether or not we are walking out, you know, what we believe in our ministry.
Right.
And,
right.
And I just think that's so wonderful because no one else probably thought to do that before they saw you do it. And then with seeing you do that, it pressed upon their heart to do that for someone as well. And that's beautiful. And that is just beautiful. And, of course, you know, with etiquette itself, the first rule of etiquette is do unto others as you would have them do unto you or treat others the way you want to be treated. That is the
mm-hmm.
first. A lot of people
uh-huh.
don't realize that, but
uh-huh.
that's
right.
the first rule of etiquette. And really, on that note, on next week, we are going to be taking a look at etiquette from a spiritual perspective. So that's our topic for next week, and this is a great prelude into that. And I'm just so glad that that you called and were able to share that with us. I'm going to bring another caller, and you are welcome to stay on with us, Ms. Alfreda, if you'd like.
Thank you, I will.
Okay, great. And we're going to bring on one of our other callers. Hello, Ms. Hattie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Hi, how are you?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Great. Talking about driving etiquette.
Yes.
What would you like to say regarding driving etiquette? I know it's a lot.
Yes. One thing I have to say about driving etiquette is, you know how when you're 25-20, whatever, and you know how Atlanta traffic is, and it's so congested and you see someone wants to get over, you have the signal light on, they've been trying forever, and then you
mm-hmm.
find, you say, okay, somebody's got to do this. I'm going to let them over. Blink my light, let them over. And then they just don't even acknowledge it or thank you or say, you know, like wave your hand up. That's usually a signal, like, okay, thank you so much. You know, you were kind. No one else did it, so I thank you. I think that should be done. I think people, because I always do. When someone let me in, I always make sure I let them know that I thank them because, you know, someone has to do it, and then it's just nice, you know, that you don't have to wait so long, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really sad you have to wait so long. They see that the light is on, and they keep getting closer and closer to the car so you can't get in.
Right.
And they know they've been in such a, they know they've been there before, especially 25 or 20. You've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what it feels like for someone to close in so tight when you can't get in.
Right.
But I think the least you can do is once someone lets you in, to thank them.
Absolutely.
Just a gesture, you know, wave of, you know, gesture like that, you know, to say thank you. That's, I think, a good practice. We should practice.
Right, and the main thing is because we didn't have to do it. I know that also bothers me as well. Even when I'm on one of the surface streets and someone may be coming out of a parking area or a restaurant or anything out of a different parking area, and then you just let them come out, and you've already seen the previous 3-4 cars ahead of you that did not let them out, and then you let them out, and they just like, well, it's about time or whatever, and they
yeah.
don't turn around to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you are absolutely, you're absolutely correct with that. I have a couple of emails, too, that we've received. It says, what do you think about non-driving old people on the road?
Mm.
Let's see. Should they be allowed to drive? Gerald P. from Michigan. Okay.
Can I answer that?
Sure, certainly.
My opinion on that?
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Since there is an age limit to get your driver's license, you know, you have to be a mature level, mature age.
Mm-hmm.
They set that age for a reason. There should be a cutoff limit too, I think, for elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that age should be, or what it is that they're doing or not doing that says that they shouldn't be driving.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there should be a late age because there's so many times you hear in the radio, in the news, where an elderly person hit the accelerator instead of the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe, I don't know, the Alzheimer's is setting in or what they just forget, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you see so many times, you know, people driving so slow, and that's a problem. You know, you can also drive too slow, and it can be just as dangerous as driving too fast.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're nervous, and then the motorcycles coming by, you know, I'm nervous because I know they're nervous because they're old, you know, very older people. So I'm not quite sure what the age should be, but I do think there should be a cutoff.
Sure, and he doesn't really mention what the age, you know, he just, it's just kind of general, old people on the road. And since he doesn't really mention an age, I'm not quite sure. So, you know, I would answer that if they are, you know, if they're not too old and they still are very conscious of what's going on, mm-hmm. I think that we must show more politeness and patience because either we'll have a parent or grandparent of that age and we would want them to be treated, you know, in a polite manner. And, of course, you know, if we keep living, you know, we'll be older someday and we're hoping that no one is just blowing at us and then making us nervous and those kinds of things. So that's important, too. But you're right. There is a, you know, there's a minimum age that you do drive. And I think now, I'm not sure if there is a cutoff, you know, age or not, but I know sometimes doctors do take, you know, some of the elderly people off the road if they feel that they are just, you know, because of reflexes or whatever,
yeah.
What you were alluding mm-hmm. to as well.
And actually, too, Donna, some families will. You know, my mother lives with me, and we won't let her drive. She's 79 years old. Actually, she has not driven probably 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of times I feel that it is, you know, our responsibility as adults and children of older parents to
mm-hmm.
keep an eye on them when children a lot of times don't always know whether their parents are okay to drive or not. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that we as children need to be a little bit more involved in decision-making when it comes to our parents, especially, you know, if they're getting older and you've seen signs of them forgetting or motor skills are failing or not quite as sharp as they used to be. So to me, that's something else to look at, even though there is no, I don't think there is an age limit to stop them from driving.
Certainly. And I have another email here. It says, how do you avoid road rage? And it's DR in Memphis.
Mm.
And, of course, in discussing just road rage itself, it's road rage is usually brought on by people being very impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes they're running behind. Oftentimes they just, you know, if somebody's in their way, you know, they want to knock them out of the way.
Right.
And I think, you know, stress, and those are so many different things. And I would say that, you know, it's so important for us not to allow the act of driving, you know, to stress you out.
Mm-hmm.
And we should always certainly allow, you know, ourselves ample time to travel so that we don't have to rush. And everybody runs behind, and we already know when you're running behind, you know, your patience is shortened and your temper is increased. And so, you know, ample time, what that actually means, of course, is giving you time to reach your destination with extra time built in for traffic congestion and mishaps, and especially here in Atlanta and some of the larger cities. I mean, if it takes you 30 minutes, if you know it takes you 30 minutes to get to a destination, then we better allow 45 to 50 just because. And, of course, depending on whether it's rush hour or, you know, it just you just never know. It could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon and there's been an accident and we know how the freeways can shut down. So we have to make sure we do that. And some other things, I think, talking about the road rage to avoid it, and we all have to do our part, just simple things, is when we desire to turn or change lanes, it's important for us to make sure that we signal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to also make sure that we check our signals to make sure that they are working. You know, put your signal on and get out of your car and look just to make sure. And, of course, you know, I think as Hattie mentioned earlier, you know, when someone is signaling to get over in front of you, be courteous and let them over. We're all going to get there, you know, if we can just, you know, be courteous and polite to one another. And, of course, we all know, you know, something else that could cause a road rage, which is tailgating, you know. And not only does it cause road rage, but, of course, you know, following too closely or tailgating, you know, it's not only rude, but of course you can also get a ticket, you know, for doing so. And, you know, we all know the old rule, we learned it in driver's ed, is to simply leave at least one car length between you and the car in front of you. Just really, really important. So,
That's very, you're right, Don. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I spoke with a truck driver earlier today, and I was talking to him about some pet peeves that he had when he's on the road. He spoke to me about in Tennessee a couple of weeks ago when the gas was crazy and how people were rude in the lines and all. But one of his pet peeves mainly is when people, when he's in his truck with a heavy load, someone drives and moves over and switches over, rather, into his lane very quickly right in front of him. Mm. And they, you know, they do it again because, you know, you talked about how people are in a hurry. And then I think it was Hattie said that they don't even acknowledge you when you let them over. But his main concern, again, was, you know, he has a heavy load, and if someone switches over like that, if he has to stop, it's very hard for a big 18-wheeler with a heavy load to stop on a dime like a lot of cars can. And so, you know, people are putting themselves in danger when they switch over like that, and perhaps there's not enough room for that truck or two to slow down or even to stop before, you know, before getting to them or too close to them. So I think people really need to be careful about driving around trucks. And someone else said something about motorcycles. Motorcycles dart in and out, and they sometimes will drive in between the lanes and try to get through. So I think we need to be a little bit more careful and watch everywhere, not just in your mirror, in the car, and on the sides, but when you're in traffic and it's heavy traffic, to just be aware of everything around you.
It's very, very important. And you mentioned the motorcycles. I had about 25 or 30 I was out earlier this evening that just came flying past on the interstate. I was like, oh, here we go. And they were flying. But you're right. Oftentimes they have, you know, a lot of them have a tendency to dart in and out. And, you know, like, okay, there's enough room for me, but, you know, does the car see you on either side that you may be riding down the middle, you know, of the lane that really isn't your lane because you're, you know, so... that's real good. That's a real good point, most definitely. And if we can just remember that just driving is not the time to practice bad manners. I mean,
no, it's not.
You know, it's just not the time to practice bad manners. And wow, I tell you, time flies when we are having fun. My goodness, I can't believe we are pretty much out of time. Let me thank the callers for calling in. Thank you so much for your input and your wonderful advice. And I want you all to please remember once again that the first rule of etiquette is the golden rule. And that's the rule we all learned in Sunday school. And that, again, is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or to simply treat others the way you want to be treated. And that comes from Matthew 7, verse 12. Also, as I like to remind you every week, to just feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best you can be. And it usually happens in that order because if you don't feel good about yourself, more than likely you're not going to be considerate of others. And if you're not considerate of others, how can you be the best that you can be? And in doing so, how about performing at least one random act of kindness, as Miss Alfreda did, and she shared with us. And before long, you'll be doing this every day. Once again, thanks for tuning in to What is Etiquette Anyway, and be sure to join us next week at 7:30 p.m., and we'll be taking a look at etiquette from a spiritual perspective. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a blessed week. Good night. Take care. And God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.